Billy that did this to me. I had nothing to do with it. It was home on her raw as that. That's it. Yes. You have to look into the Megillah. See, the three principles that you use in order to bring about the turn. There's one point that it says that it's a matter of dictum. It says, So he went out to the garden. He had to cool off. V'homon omad levakesh al nafsho me'esther amalka. It says v'homon omad in the past tense. V'homon omad, he got up to beg for his life from Esther amalka. Because he saw ki cholzoi lo harom Esther amalka was complete. And the only chance he had was to appeal to the sympathies of Esther. Okay? Next pasuk it says, "Va'melach shav meginas abisno beis mishdayayim," and the king returned. It says, "Va'homan no fail alamito asher Esther olal." What does it say? Always bother me. I'm a Balkaris. So I learned in the Gilas. I don't have to remember. Amad is the first one who's fast, but the second one he attempted to say, "Va'homan no fail alamito asher Esther olal." Why did it switch it from the past of Amad? Because it's telling you historically what happened. So it should be in the past. But then "Va'homan" doesn't say "no fail alamito." "Va'homan no fail." Why is it no fail in the present? Why did it switch to the present form of the verb? What's the answer? And the answer is simple. So we mentioned last week that the deadly error he committed was that he went on her bed. That showed that he has no respect for the queen. There's supposed to be a distance between the queen and between the stranger. After all, the queen belongs to the king. And he lost the sense of propriety. And he fell on the bed. But what it means is, you see, he wasn't completely foolish. He wasn't completely foolish. Haman is describing an event that he didn't completely lose his senses. Why? Because he did it when the king went out. You see, he would never have done it if the king would not have gone out. So you see here the intricacies, the exactness of the Ashgacha. The Ashgacha was that the king should walk out. See, like, he went out to the garden. Then, what does it mean? He was in the process, because the king went out. That's why he took the liberty, because he wasn't there. He never would have done it in the presence of the king. You see? But when the king came back, what did he saw? What did he see? He saw that Haman is in. He was in the process because he had done it before when the king left. He didn't imagine the king would return so quickly. He said, if the king would stay there the entire time, he never would have done it. If he would have said, Haman no foul, it would imply that the king came back and Haman fell on the bed. He wouldn't have done it. And what sealed his fate was, Agam lichboshes hamalka uni baboyes. So part of the Ashgacha was that Ahasuerus should walk out into the garden because of his anger. If he didn't walk out, his fate would not have been sealed. It's an interesting point that you could derive just from the form of the verb. The first one is in the past amad, the second one is no fail in the present. It's a, yes?
At the point at which Esther
further the emotion is driven home, that is that's the security of the that gives you all security of his decision process.
Okay.
So Adam Lichbosh and Malkin of the boys, that
sealed
was
it.
That was it. That sealed it. That sealed his fate. And it was only because Ahasuerus walked out. An interesting thing. The Megillah points out every nuance of the Ashgacha.
You have to look at the first thing, because really he wasn't surprised.
Ahasuerus was not an objective, cool figure. He wasn't stupid. I mean, he was Noah. He could have been stupid. But the emotions played a powerful role in his life. And that's why she had a word with his emotions. Yes. Agam lichbosh the Magen Avos was because before he started with the crown. And then he withdrew. And it's Agam lichbosh the Magen
Avos.
Yes. Is that he made the connection between the two. That's excellent. Very good. Made the connection between his... Originally he wanted to give the crown. And then he saw, he backed off. He saw Ahasuerus' face. He wasn't too happy about that. They backed off, like Rashi says, oh, we won't use the crown, you know. But Hagamlet Boshe Samalti Mevapoyes brought back the, his original intention.
Very good.
There's a kind of quarrel. That it means like Donnie said, Lada Marche Levin Mele Kin Mane Loshen. It means that this was Ashgacha. Hagam Yetzin Tiyam Malach. Nei Haman Chafel. His fate was sealed by that moment that Hashverus left alone. Okay.
Yeah.
And Parashat V'chsav is not a vehicle, simply a vehicle of communication. Parashat V'chsav is really a phenomenon. Parashat V'chsav is a phenomenon. You have to study Parashat V'chsav just like a scientist would study the phenomena of the universe. It's a phenomenon. Okay. There's one more thing I want to bring up. And that is, we mentioned last week, we said that there were two hatreds that Haman had towards Mordechai. One was an ideological hatred. That was the first hatred. That's when he heard that Mordechai didn't bow down to him. Why? Because he's a Jew, and he was claiming that this is not merely showing respect for a person, but this was really embracing an ideology. And then I'm Mordechai. So there was an ideological hate towards the Jew. But then later, after that, subsequently, what happened was that he saw that Mordechai lo kom velo zor. He didn't get up, and he wasn't moved by him at all. Vayimale homon al Mordechai chema. There was a personal hatred towards the character of the Jew. The two hatreds that the Jew experiences. That's why you see it has nothing to do with anti-Semitism and Nazism. Had nothing to do with the ideology. Not nothing to do, only in an indirect sense. I mean, it had to do. I explained it last week. But I mean to say a person who gave up the ideology of Judaism was not saved. Why? Because the character of the Jew became the object of the hate of the Nazis. And even though a person was not religious, had nothing to do with Judaism, but the character of the Jew can't be obliterated. cannot be obliterated, and the hatred will express itself towards the character and personality of the Jew. That was why Yemole Homon al Mordechai. What?
Yeah.
What aspect of the character of the Jew is velo kom velo zo? That the Jew is not impressed. The Jew is never impressed by the Goyim, no matter how much he suffers because of the hatred, but there's something in him that gives him the strength and the ability to simply laugh off the guy. Underneath it all, he's laughing at the guy. And the guy knows. As a matter of fact, I remember an article many years ago in Time magazine where they translated the Jewish song of Shikr is a God. Shikr is a God. Shikr is a Tinkin Miza, Vala is a God. Which means that they translated the song as a guy is a drunkard, and they translated it correctly. Came out sound a little funny in English. Drunk he is, drink he must, because he is a Gentile. So, what? Just a matter of anti-Semitism. But of course, people, some generous guy said, "Look, what do you expect? You take a people and you try to destroy them and mistreat them and torture them throughout the centuries, so they make up a little song. So that's why that gives you right." Of course, the whole thing is crazy, but the fact is, why is it so important to the guy? Really, why is the guy? Because the guy knows that that's true. He knows that no matter what he does, the Jew just simply doesn't. Velo kom velo zo. He doesn't notice. That's why, as I mentioned before, Professor Wolfson of the university speaks about how the goyim would herd the Jews into the churches and have the ministers preach there all day for hours and hours. Jew walk up. I'm impressed by the goyim. To my mind, what causes the greatest anti-Semitism? Okay. Yeah. Like a Jew, before you go to bed, he says, "Excuse me, I have to go see the park." Common expression. I won't get in trouble with that. I got used to the habit doing it. Anyway. My uncle was a kid. My uncle always said that. So I got used to the habit of doing that. Then I was in the university. I was talking with Guyan, and in the middle, I excuse myself. Pasuk actually describes it exactly. And that's the character of the Jew. Velo kom velo zah. He's unimpressed. Even the Jew that's gone away from the Yiddish and Yiddishkeit still has that character. Still has that character. Yeah. The head of the B'nai Noach movement. He said that he was always taught, he became a minister after all, and he said that... that started him to think into Yadis. That caused him to begin to forget. Yeah. Yes. The Rabbi may amei ha'oretz mitziyadim. Why? Ki nofal pachar ha'yehudim alei. Because the fear of the Jew fell upon him. What is the fear of the Jew? The fear of the Jew I mentioned last week. I said behind the anti-Semitism is a tremendous fear. And as a matter of fact, the Yadis maintains that the lonely position of the Jew throughout the centuries, throughout the past millennia, is because of the fact it's really the negative of the true position of the Jew. Because the true position of the Jew is as an individual or as a group that inspires fear. And what happened was the moment the Jews rose, it was a return to their rightful position. And that's the position of the Jew in Yemos HaMashiach. The reason why the Jew is so downtrodden is not simply that he's downtrodden. It's because he's deserving of their true position and the world recognizes it, that's why they have to push him down. It's the opposite side of the cause can be expressed in two ways. It can be expressed in its rightful way. That's when the Jew lives according to the Torah. If he doesn't live according to the Torah, it's going to be expressed in the negative. The low position of the Jew throughout the centuries is the negative of his true position. Okay? It's like Sigmund Freud said, that the Jew, 3,000 years ago, the Jew said he's a chosen people, and the world acted as if they believed it ever since. Which means to say, you should have gone a little deeper. Just talking from the superficial psychological aspect. From a Torah point of view, it means to say that they know what the true position of the Jew is, and they fear the Jew, and that's what causes the downtroddenness of the Jew. It's the negative of the reality. The negative of the reality.
It's very simple.
It means Zera Yehudim. It means Zera Yehudim. Nothing people are harmed. And that's what the Torah says. Ki rabim me'amai oretz misyadim ki nofal pachar ayudim aleim. But take a look further. In Tess, what does it say? It says, ki godol Mordechai b'beis ha'melach v'shomo holech b'chol ha'medinos. He was great in the house of the king and his fame went throughout all the medinos. Throughout all the countries. Ki yo'ish Mordechai holech v'godol. Wasn't it ki yo'ish Mordechai holech v'godol? The man Mordechai was growing ever greater, becoming ever greater. What does it mean? It means to say it's different than Pachar Yehudim Aleihem. What's the difference? Godol Mordechai is the character of the Jew, the personality of the Jew. Just like the two hatreds that Haman had against Mordechai, one was the ideological hate, that was Am Mordechai, Kigidlo Am Mordechai, that was Kinofal Pachar Yehudim Aleihem. That was when they returned to their, restored to their rightful position, so then it was Kinofal Pachar Yehudim Aleihem. And in the same manner, just like below Kom, below Zomi Menu, there was hatred against the personality of Mordechai. On the contrary, when his true position was restored, it was Ki Godol Mordechai Beveis HaMelech, Ki Yo'ish Mordechai Holech VeGodol. Because the personality of Mordechai, the character of the Jew, was raised to the highest esteem. Both things are met. When you look into it later, you see that both things are mentioned. So Meir pointed to this afternoon. That it's carried through, both things are carried through exactly the way originally was in the negative, it was restored to the negative, carries it out precisely. Where does this come from, really? I mean, it's the assault against the personality. And then on the contrary, the esteem of the Jew, because of his ideology, and the esteem of the Jew because of his personality, because of his character.
It's carried.
Yeah, it's true also. Yeah, it says over there, it says Kiyisha by Moshe also. But it's a pasuk in the Torah. It says in Moshe, Godol Moshe,
Gamish
Moshe Gamish Moshe
the Eni of the Father,
that's right. Yeah, that's the personality of Moshe, the character of Moshe. That's what this is. Correct. But it's a pasuk in the Torah. It's a pasuk in Dvar. Pasuk in Dvar and Kisav. The pasuk says, in the Brachos, the pasuk says, And there's a chazal, a strange chazal that I never understood until now. It says like this. It says, the pasuk, it's in Shishi. It's in Dvarim Chaches Yud. V'lo kol amei oretz kishem ad Hashem nikra olacha v'yoru mina. It says that the nations of the world will see that the name of God is called upon you, and they will fear you. The Yorimina. They will fear you. But what do Chazal say? Chazal say, yeah, Amar V'lazar Gadol. Now what does it mean? Kishem Hashem nikra olacha elu tefillin shebarosh. It's referring to the tefillin that a person wears on his head. What is, I never understood. What does Chazal mean that it refers to the Tzvon Shebarosh? What does it mean that a person will say, a guy will see a Jew with a turn on his head and they're going to become frightened? What does it mean? What does it mean? It means to say like this. The Pasuk says, V'roh chol amei yoresh kishem Hashem nikra lecha v'yorim imecha, is referring to the people. It's referring, because the Pasuk is referring to the people. It's referring to the people. Which means the character of the people will be known, and they'll fear them. Plain shot in the pasuk. They'll be afraid of them. You know, it says the pasuk says that the pasuk says Yitein Hashem Zevecha Kom Olecha Nigochnu Fanecha B'Derech Echad Yitzu Olecha V'Shiva Drachnu Misufan. They'll be afraid of you as a nation. Okay, so that's one. But Chazal say Eimu Tzvon Sheberosh. It means there's a deeper level. It means the ideological recognition. That's Tzvon Shebarosh. Tzvon Shebarosh means the ideas of the parshias of the parshias of Tzvon, of Shema, of Achdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that we were given the true ideas concerning God, and that these ideas we put on the Rosh, why put on the Rosh? To show them that they're a part of our intellectual makeup, of the Chachma of the Jew, and because of that, the goyim will be inspired with fear. The fear will be generated from the ideology of the Jew. So it's really on two planes. That's what Chazal means. Eilu Tefillin Shebarosh means that the yorul minecha will be because of two things. The plain shot in the pasuk is because of the character of the Jew. That's the plain shot. But behind it is the Tefillin Shebarosh. That's what Chazal. That's what B'lav HaGadol says. Eilu Tefillin Shebarosh. Yes.
Hitler in Mein Kampf says that the reason he hates the Jews is because they gave us the Ten Commandments, which means a form of conscience.
Right.
He says he would rather be a thief and pagan and not have any restraints, and that's why he hates the Jews.
Yeah, that's correct. That was his statement. Because of the ethics and the morality. And he was basically filled with a tremendous fear of the Jews. As you see, the universal conspiracy and the unbelievable power that he projected onto the Jew. It's amazing. It shows you the tremendous fear that he had of him. But that's the pasuk. So it's a pasuk in itself.
That's the pasuk. Yes. Same way the Ha'ish. It says, the Lord. Right. His persona. His persona was
written
in that
about
all the gold and silver.
Yeah, that's right. Rashi by
Yitzchak.
So Rashi says that it's better.
They said Zevul Pidosav Shal Yitzchak Vol Kaspo Uzahavo Shal
Noach. Personality.
But versus the other ego, he was the other ego ideal, Zavi Melach of Kesman Zav. This was even greater.
But behind the personality is the ideals. Okay. All right. That's it. Okay. Crash all clear. Alright, the Mishnah. So the Gemara says you gotta go through the Cheshbon here. So now, after you've gone through the Cheshbon, it works like this. There are basically two possibilities before the Mishnah. One possibility is that Kriyas and Megillah is a situational phenomenon. That wherever you are, that's how you lean. In other words, the halacha was that there's leaning, that Kriyas and Megillah is it takes place in a krach on the 15th, and in an ear on the 14th. That's the chiyuv hamitzvah, that's the way it works. And it depends where you are. If you're in the ear, so then at that time, so you read like the ear. If you're in the krach, you read like the krach. In other words, the chiyuv is fulfilled according to the way The Hechi Timsa works out according to the situation. The situation. There's a chiyuv on the ear to read on the 15th. If you happen to be in the ear on the 15th, you chayav on the 15th. So the kiyum on mitzvah is contingent upon the kiyum, the ofen kiyuma. All right, there's two ways to make a mitzvah, either in the krach or in the ear. So it depends, situationally, it depends where you are. Okay? If that were the case, so then if you found yourself in the ear, when? Krach on the 14th and the ear in the 15th, you'd be patlagamri. The second possibility is it goes by your citizenship. If your citizenship is, if you're a citizen of the krach, so then you're chayiv on the 15th. You're a citizen of the ear, you're chayiv on the 14th. Okay? No matter where you are. What would be the case like, no matter where you are? So therefore, if you are a citizen of the krach and on the 14th you are in an ear, so then what would it mean? So you mean, you read on the 15th? So that, I would say, I'll be as far as possible to say such a thing, but the Gemara rejects it from the Pasuk, I can't hear my present, my Yoshim are present. Why do they say that? Mechtik, so you hear them present. Normally, the Mechtik, Yoshim are present. Hakamashmon, the Priz Ben Yomon, Nikra Priz. So he's a Priz for a day. So what's the question? Let's put it in halachic terms. What's the question in halachic terms? The question is, what is the function of ear and krach? That's the question. Is ear and krach, are ear and krach mechayvim in the mitzvah? Or are ear and krach halachim in kiyum ha-mitzvah? In kiyum ha-mitzvah. That's the question in abstract. Okay? If you say that ear and krach halachas in the mechayiv of the mitzvah, so then I say like this. If you find yourself in an ear and you're dalid, so since you're in an ear, so the mechayiv is chal upon you and you're dalid. Krach, the mechayiv is chal on you and tesvav. So it's possible to avoid either mechayiv. A simple answer. I go to the krach in yudalid, and therefore there's no mechayiv on me in yudalid. And the moment yudalid is over, or it's about to be over, I can't read the Megillah anymore. So I jump out of the choma, and I'm in the and I'm outside of the krach. And now I'm putter because there's no mechayiv in the ear of tesvav. So that would mean that ear and krach are entities insofar as the chiyuv ha-mitzvah is concerned. That's what it would mean definitively, if we would say that pshat. But of course that pshat is completely rejected. All right? That pshat, it seems, is completely rejected.
It makes sense,
but it's completely rejected. Okay? But it's a possibility. It's a viable possibility, but apparently the Gemara doesn't deal with that possibility. That possibility is considered, it's not considered. Okay. Now what's the other possibility? The other possibility is to say that the Mechayev, that what is Ear and Krach? What's the role of Ear and Krach in the Mitzvah, Kriyas, and Megillah? It's not the role in terms of the Mechayev, in terms of Chiyuv HaMitzvah. But the role it plays is strictly in terms of Kiyum HaMitzvah, the fulfillment of the Mitzvah. Which means to say like this, the Chiyuv of the Mitzvah is Chal on the Gavra wherever he is. When? I don't know when. But it's Chal on the Gavra wherever he is. Okay? But the only thing is like this, that a gavra, that's a ben ear, his kiyum on mitzvah takes place when? On yudalit. A gavra is a ben krach, his kiyum on mitzvah takes place on tesvav. But the chiyuv on mitzvah is not totally in being present, and is not totally in ear, it's not totally in krach. It doesn't matter. They're all, the chiyuv on mitzvah is chal on klal Yisrael, every Jew, chiyuv on mitzvah. The only thing is that the kiyum kriyosa is takes place the yudalit in the ear and then in the krach and tesvav. Okay, so then I would say in simple terms that it depends where I'm a citizen of. It's totally the gavra basically. It's totally the gavra. Okay, totally the gavra. Just saying. Totally the gavra. So in other words, it would be totally completely in the gavra, which means to say it depends what kind of a gavra I am. If I'm a gavra of a ben krach, That's where I live. So therefore, my chiyuv is to read it when? To read it on the 15th. If I'm a ben ear, so then my chiyuv is to read it on the 14th. It doesn't matter where I am. There's no halacha that I have to go back. If I'm a ben krach, for instance, and I went outside of the krach, it doesn't, and I'm on the 15th, I'm in an ear, wouldn't make any difference. I still would read it where? I'd read it in the ear. I'd read it on the 15th. Because it's halacha in the gavra. That the gavra is, the chiyuv of the gavra is what? The chiyuv of the gavra is to read it whenever there's manis. It's not dependent on this. It's not a locha that There's no halacha that the kriya, that if I'm a ben krach, that my only kriya that I could be yotze with is to read it in a krach. There wouldn't be any halacha like that. The halacha is a ben krach is chayev when? Is chayev in excuse me? Is chayev in 15th. And a ben year is chayev in the 14th. According to the first way, we said the what? No. According to the first way, the machayev is the ear and the krach. That's the machayev. The chiyav ha-mitzvah. And according to the first way, there's one big difference. According to the first way, the chiyav and the kiyum are commensurate. Because what's the machayev? The machayev is the ear. So where you are, that's where your kriya is. Right? It's where you are, that's the kriya is. So if you're in the krach on Teslov, so then you have a chiyav of the krach, and you have a kiyum in the krach. But once you switch it to the gavra, now you have a strange phenomenon, which means to say that what a person is a ben krach, he's a citizen of a krach, and he's in the 14th, he's going to be in the year, so he'll still be chayev. Why would he be chayev? Even though he's not in the krach. So come on, you can have, there's no halacha that the kiyum mitzvah of a ben krach has to be inside the krach. That's not the halacha. The halacha is totally dependent upon the gavra, which means to say that if I'm a gavra of a ben krach, so then I'm chayev in kriya on the 15th. It has nothing to do with where I am. It has nothing to do with the Kiyum Kriyasa. It doesn't have to be inside the Krach. The Kiyum Kriyasa can be anywhere. But if I'm a Gavra of a Ben Krach, so I'm Chayav on the 15th. If I'm a Gavra of a Ben Yir, I'm Chayav on the 14th. Wouldn't make any difference whatsoever. So if I went to Yerushalayim and I live in Tel Aviv, so I go to Yerushalayim, so on the 14th I'd be Chayav in Kriyas and Megillah. Because I'm a Ben Yir. And the Machayav is based upon the type of Gavra I am. Purely Allah and the type of Gavra I am. That would have been the Allah if it wasn't the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, no, okay, now use him aprozim. If it would have stopped there, that's what it would have meant. But it says a Yoshim Bari aprozos. What's a Yoshim Bari aprozos? The Gemara says, Priz ben Yomo Nikra Priz, which means to say like this. He comes from Yerushalayim, and now he goes to Tel Aviv. He's on Tel Aviv on the 14th, right? So now it's just a question, what's the halacha of Priz ben Yomo basically? Priz ben Yomo doesn't change the formula. The formula is the same. Which means to say the machayev is not the ear and not the krach, but the machayev is chal negavra. Ear and krach is halach and kiyum mitzvah, not halach and chiyav mitzvah. Okay? It's halach and kiyum mitzvah, the fact of ear and krach. It's not halach and chiyav mitzvah. So therefore, even though I'm in the Tel Aviv, so it doesn't matter. The ear is not a machayev. The ear is not a machayev. What's the machayev? The machayev is chal negavra. And ear is only halach and kiyum mitzvah. So the only thing is that it says Ayoshvin Bari HaPrazos. What is it, Ayoshvin Bari HaPrazos? Ayoshvin Bari HaPrazos. So it means that Pruz Ben Yomo is Nikra Pruz. Which means to say, what does that mean to say? Pruz Ben Yomo, what kind of exercise is it? What does it mean? Pruz Ben Yomo Nikra Pruz. What does it mean? It means to say that the definition of where you're from is not based upon where you live all the time, but it's based upon where you live in the Zman of Chiyav HaMitzvah. The Zman of Chiyav HaMitzvah. In other words, where you live is not determined by your real citizenship, where you live all year round, but it's determined where you live insofar as Purim is concerned. Okay? What? So you understand that if I'm going to be in Tel Aviv for the whole day of the 14th, so at least till the morning when there's a Chiyav Kriyas and Megillah, so now I'm considered Yoshev in the kingdom of Prasen, Hayoshev in our presence. So I'm considered Yoshev in our presence. Why? Because insofar as Purim's concerned, Purim doesn't recognize the history of the Gavra. His history starts right then and there. Where he lives is determined where he is in this man of Allah. Allah is man says over here. Okay. So therefore, he's a citizen of Tel Aviv. So that's it. So the Gavra is defined by circumstance. Now let's say conversely, you have a Ben Krach. So where did he go? A Ben Yir went to Yerushalayim on the 14th. And he what? What did the Ben Yir show for Krach? So he went to Yerushalayim. In Masad Lachzor Balele Tesvav. So he's going to go back when? He's going to go back before Amar HaShachar, before Lele Tezvav. So what do you say about such a guy? So where is he though? Shele Yehesham B'yom Tezvav. Lo Havi Mukaf Liyama. Why? Why isn't he Mukaf Liyama? So it doesn't work out. No. It doesn't work out. Why? Because insofar as Purim is concerned, he's definitely not defined as a Ben Yir. Because he's in the Krach.
If you, the same as those things in an air benir. A benir is a benir because it's defined where you are in Purim. So, let's say midbar is nothing. Midbar is like an ear. There's no lachef in an ear. No. Everybody in the krach has to land then on your dollar. Why is a guy putter in the krach on your... No, but why is he putter in the krach on your dollar? In other words, right now on your dollar when I'm in the krach. So what am I halachically? Am I defined as a benir insofar as Purim is concerned? Of course not. Otherwise, I'd run the krach. I'd have to read. So I'm not defined as a ben-ear if I'm in the krach. The krach exempts me from being defined as a ben-ear. So just because I'm going to go back that night, and I'm going to miss the kriya in the krach, so what? So why am I a ben-ear? So I guess, in other words, the question is, what is the gzeres akosev of alakena yudim apresum ayoshim bar apresus? So what does ayoshim bar apresus mean? Prisman yoma. So, what does it mean, Pris Ben Yoma? Does Pris Ben Yoma mean to say that we define the citizenship of the person based upon the day of Purim? We don't recognize where he lives. Outside of Purim, there's nothing. Nothing exists. We only recognize the citizenship in terms of Purim. That's the day that we're concerned about. We don't care where he lives the rest of the year. The rest of the year is not a little Purim. So, it's purely halachic citizenship. It's a citizenship insofar as Purim is concerned. If that's the case, we encounter this problem. Because if he's living in the krach, if he's sitting in the krach, he's in the krach on the 14th, so therefore, what is he basically? In terms of Purim, he's a ben krach. He can't be mechayevim, because Purim, he doesn't have any citizenship in the other place, in the year. So how are you mechayev him on the 14th? Just because he's going to return when? Before the 15th? Doesn't make any sense. He's not a citizen. The citizenship should be determined by where he lives in the time in this month of Purim. Right? That's the problem. That's if you learn the halacha Yoshim Bar Yaprazos, the way we're defining it. But there's another way to learn halacha. It's not the halacha that Pris Ben Yomo is a universal halacha that defines the person's citizenship. No. Halacha like it. The citizenship of the person is defined by where he lives all year round. He's a Benir because we know he was a Benir yesterday and the day before yesterday. But there's a separate Xeris Akrasa that says what? There's a separate Chaleshem of a Pris Ben Yomo. It's a different chalashem of a Pris Ben Yomo. What is a Pris Ben Yomo? A Pris Ben Yomo means a gavra that's in a place b'shas chi of kriyaso. B'shas chi of kriyaso. If he's in the ear, so he's defined as a ben ear, as a ben ear. So it means to say like this, that there are two systems of defining a ben ear and a ben krach. There's a basic system that Gavra is defined as a ben, as let's say the krach. He's a ben krach. They live in Yerushalayim, he's basically defined as a ben krach. However, if he should find himself in an ear, bisman kriyaso, he has, because of that situation, he acquires a different chalashem. What's the different chalashem? A pris ben yomo. Pris ben yomo. So pris ben yomo is a new kind of a phenomenon. It's a separate phenomenon. Pris ben yomo is mevatel his status of a ben krach that he usually had before. The halacha is that where you're a pris ben yomo, so then it's mafkia your status of a ben krach, and it's machayev you what as a ben ear. And conversely, if you're a ben ear that you went to Yerushalayim on the 14th, so basically you're defined as a ben ear. The only thing is, and you're chayev on the 14th. The only thing is, if you're going to stay there when bisman kiyum kriyasa, so then what happens? So you become a krach, what's it called, Marco? A mukif ben yomo. You become a mukif ben yomo. So a mukif ben yomo, you'll be chayiv what? You'll be mukif ben yomo, you'll be chayiv in kriya on the 15th. On the 15th. Right, the only question is that on the 14th, where is he? He's in the krach. And on the 14th, he's not defined as a mukif ben yomo yet. So what potters him from Kriyas on Megillah on the 14th just because he knows he's going to be there on the 15th? But why not? How are you going to say because he's not in his ear? Because he has to be Yoshim Bar Yaprazos. So therefore he's not in his ear. So now he's what? So now he's not Chayiv like the people in the... he's not a Chayiv people yet. So then if he leaves on the 15th, he should be put to Wagami? The answer is that, you see, Chiyuvei HaMitzvah are Chal only, of course, on a certain gavra. On a certain gavra. So in order to have chiyuvei on mitzvah, you have to have a chalas shem in the gavra. Am I right? Okay. Now, over here for Purim, there are two chalas shemos. There's a Chalas Shem Ben Ir, and there's a Chalas Shem Ben Krach. Okay. There's a Chalas Shem Pruz Ben Yomo, and there's a Chalas Shem Mukaf Ben Yomo. Two separate areas, as we explained before. If the person is in the 14th, he's in the Krach, so he's still Chayav. Why? Because he's defined as a Pruz. Right? He's defined as a Pruz, based upon the basic halacha of citizenship. Okay? If a person is from a krach, is in an ear on the 14th, on the Zman Chiyuvo, there's a new institution that comes in. It's called the Pruz Ben Yomo, which overrides, cancels out his citizenship, and defines him as what? As a Pruz Ben Yomo. So either you read on the 14th because you're defined as a Pruz, or else you read on the 14th because you're defined as a Pruz Ben Yomo. Two separate definitions. Either you read on the 15th because you're defined as a Mukaf, or you read on the 15th because you're defined as what? As a Mukaf Ben Yomo. But the Chalas Shem Mukaf Ben Yomo overrides the status of what? Of Ben Yir. Of Pruz. The status of Pruz. So where you are Bisman Chiyuvo gives you your Chalas Shem. There's two considerations. Where you are in general and where you are B'Shas Ki Mitzvasa. And B'Shas Ki Mitzvasa is the overriding Chalas Shem, so it makes you either a Ben Yir or a Ben Krach. Right? So now it comes out like this, that if a person knows he's going to be where? He's going to be in the Krach on the 15th. So now I'll ask you, in terms of the mitzvah, what is, after the 15th is over, in terms of the mitzvah, what kind of a Chalas Shem does he have? Ben Ir or Ben Krach? What's the answer? Mokas Ben Yomo. So it comes out that his Chalas Shem is not going to emerge till when? Till the 15th. So here you have an unusual case. You have a case where the Chiyuv HaMitzvah is Chal before the Chalas Shem and the Gavra is Chal. You see? The Chiyuv HaMitzvah is Chal before the Chalas Shem and the Gavra is Chal. So it comes out that he can't be Chayav on the 14th because his Chalas Shem and the Gavra is not going to be Chal until tomorrow. And tomorrow, he's not going to have any chiyuv on the 14th. So he can't, so you can't have him, there is no chiyuv on the 14th. Why is there no chiyuv on the 14th? There's no gavra. You can't have a chiyuv on mitzvah without a gavra. In order to have chiyuv on mitzvah, you require a gavra who's capable of receiving the mitzvah. But the gavra has to either be defined as a ben yir or a ben krach. But his definition has not emerged yet. Because his definition is going to emerge when? He's going to emerge tomorrow. So what's going to happen is, after the 15th, when is this Chalas Shem going to emerge? You need 2 days for such a Chalas Shem to emerge. 1 day is not enough, because take a look at it this way. When he reads on the 14th, let's say he reads on the 14th, and he stays there on the 15th, what happens? Where's Bracha Latola? Is it Bracha Latola? It comes out that insofar as Purim is concerned, what is he defined as? He's defined as a Mukaf Ben Yomo. He's defined, the Gemara says, Svarihi. Need the Pruz Ben Yomo it reproves, Mukif Ben Yomo it be Mukif. Which means so far as Purim is concerned, your ultimate definition is where you were Bisman Chiyuv Kriyasa. So if you were in the Krach, Bisman Chiyuv Kriyasa shall Krach, so how are you defined as? You have it defined as a Mukif. So if you're defined as a Mukif, that means your definition doesn't emerge until the 15th. So therefore it's impossible in Kiyum HaMitzvah, it's absurd to go by what it would appear your definition is now, when you know very well that your definition tomorrow, which is going to be the ultimate definition, is going to be that of a mukaf. So therefore, the gavra doesn't emerge until tomorrow. So it's impossible to have a chiyuv mitzvah in practice to tell me that I should carry out my mitzvah when you know very well that what are you going to be defined as? You're going to be defined as a mukaf, which means your kriya is levatola. Oh, kriya can be levatola, but the bracha is going to be levatola. The mitzvah is not a mitzvah. Because the definition is going to emerge tomorrow. It's an unusual local case. But of course, rationality dictates that which way should you do it? You have to do it in a way where the Kiyum HaMitzvah makes sense in terms of the Gavra. And that's not going to take place until tomorrow. Because tomorrow, you're going to be defined permanently, insofar as Purim is concerned, as what? As the Gavra of a Mukaf. So the Gavra didn't emerge yet. The Gavra shall Chiyuv, to whom the Chiyuv relates, didn't emerge until tomorrow. So therefore, what happens? They have to be current effect. That's what it means if you know. If you know, it means if you know. If you know, you're going to stay there. So therefore, you know very well that what's going to happen, that you as a gaffer are going to emerge as a new gaffer tomorrow. So you have to wait.
But if you don't know,
you have to wait. It's a strange phenomenon. It's a strange phenomenon. It's the only case in Ovin Alofa where the gaffer doesn't emerge until the next day, even though Chiyav HaMitzvah emerges today. But you can't tell him to do Chiyav HaMitzvah today. It's going to be absurd. But tomorrow, his definition is going to be emerge. And what's going to happen tomorrow? Tomorrow, it's going to come out that whatever he did yesterday was nonsense. So what does he have to do? He has to do it tomorrow. The only rational way to do it. The reason why, if it still bothers you, the reason why it bothers you is, I'll tell you, it's a psychological problem. It's because you have a strong superego. And it bothers you that it would appear that you have to wait. But that's not good for a Baal HaOlam. You have to be rational over here. And the fact is, his definition, we know, is not going to emerge until tomorrow. So his whole idea today is an absurdity. In other words, there's no question about it that if he's a ben krach, shaholach le'ir, and he was a pruz ben yomo, then if he comes back to the krach, well, that's not what we're saying like Rashi.
Right.
So you're saying he's putter. Why? Because he was defined as what? As a pruz ben yomo le mitzvah. So, and he only tolerates one definition. Now he's immune to all definitions, because he's ready to kind of mitzvah. So your question is, where's a pruz ben yomo and a krach ben yomo, or a mukif ben yomo, which is chal? That's your question. That's the question, basically. If he's a Pruz Ben Yo, so the answer is very simple. The answer is the first one, that's it, that's how it's logical. In other words, if the Gavra stayed on the 14th, the Das that he's going to stay on the 15th, and he was Ma'akif Kriyosa, and then on the 15th at night, before Amar HaShachar, he goes back to the 14th, to the year.
Does he read?
He can't read.
He can't read. Even though
he's not defined. Because he came out of Mafreya, he was defined as what? As a Ben Yo, and he didn't read. So he wasn't yet to the mitzvah. I don't know of any other case I could think of where you have a similar kind of thing.
He's Mabatel, I'm afraid. He's not Mabatel while he's there on the 14th.
It's a rare case where the Chiyuv precedes the definition of the Gavra, so you can't execute the mitzvah until the definition of the Gavra is finalized. And the definition of Gavra is not going to be finalized until the next day. So it's only logical that you can't do it until the next day. That's the Gemara, that's it. So the Rosh disagrees in the name of Yerushalmi. And he maintains that if on the 14th, if on, you're on a very simple formula, if on the 14th you're in a krach, so what do? So you're laying like the krach. Period, that's it. Depends where you are on the 14th. Since you're a benir, but you were in the krach when you were supposed to be chayiv and you're supposed to be in your ear, but you move into the krach, and in that time, in the krach, you're not chayiv anymore. So therefore, you're chayiv in the krach, and even if you go back to the ear, you're still going to read on the 15th. That's what he holds. Okay, does he have ben krach? Because it's called mukaf minyala. He doesn't like this business of Rashi Lamafrey with the chayiv and the chalos shem and the gavra and all business. He doesn't like that. So what's the formula of your shaman? Shami says depends where he is in the 14th. If he's in the year in the 14th, if he's in the krach in the 14th, he immediately loses chavos a year because he can't lay now. So it's nostalgic chavos a year, and in place is chal what? Chavos a krach. So therefore he has to do what? 15th. No matter what, Rashi don't want to say that way because it's not chavos kriya yet in the krach. The Rosh himself says why Rashi don't want to say that. Because chavos kriya is not going to be chal till tomorrow. But the Rosh says it doesn't matter. Since it's nostalgic mimenu chavos kriya a year, because he's over here, so now he's going to be chayav on the 15th. All right, how's that work? What's the rush? The rush doesn't mention anything about has to be kindness on the 14th. He just says very simple. He says, take a look. He gives a reason. He says, ukimoshim ol ben kashal shalach elias kibenir. That's his reason. That's his reason. He's not with his people in the time when they're all reading the Megillah. That's what he said. You see, listen carefully. I just gave you the punchline of the Rush. But he has something before that, where he says like this. He says, "Kemo shemoa leben krach lios to ben ir, kishomad shom leela bosa mitzas hayom shuzman kriyas shal b'nei ir v'chol l'chos kriyas shal b'nei ir. Kemo kemoa leben ir shal l'chos krach, v'amad shomad mitzas hayom yidalot. Kivon shebizman chiv kriyas." You know what I mean? He's saying there's an analogy here. On the surface, you don't understand the analogy. No, it's not the same. Because where is a ben krach and he went to the ear? I understand. Because it's chovas kriyasa. But over here, Ben Yair went to the cross. Nothing's happening in the cross now, as far as points are concerned. So what's the commotion? Is what's is an exact equation, exact analogy? It's because the Rush state says something here which doesn't make any sense. And he says, kimo. Kimo shemo le ben krachlius ke ben yair kashom acham le la bosa, mitzvah yom, which is man kriyasa, okay? And I'm skipping through words. Kimo kain mo le ben yair. What do you mean kimo kain mo le ben yair shokho krach? Vama chama mucha. Kivan shib is man chi of Chris Namakama, any man. Nistarak mel of Chavas Chris Hanshin Nakama. What's the
other?
Yeah! Exactly! What's the Rush saying? What's the Rush saying? What the Rush is saying is like this. The Rush is saying, how are you learning? You're learning like this. Now, what is Prisman Yomo? Prisman Yomo means, I'm there bisman chi of Kriyasa. So it means where I am bisman chi of Kriyasa is Koveya, the definition of the Gavra. Right? The Makom. Purus, Porus, Mak, if you're in a Makom, Porus, it's Koveya, your definition as a Porus. And that's gonna determine your Chiyav. So the Rush says one thing. Just like the Halacha is insofar as, just like the Makom is a determinant insofar as Chiyav Kriyasa, the Makom is a determinant, should be a determinant insofar as Ptur Kriyasa. Insofar as Ptur Kriyasa is concerned. So therefore, if you're going to tell me that being in a city that's a Poros on Yom Yadalid renders me a Poros, so if I'm not in a Poros on Yom Yadalid, it should render me, I'm in a Krach on the Yom Yadalid, I should be rendered a Ben Krach on Mukaf Liyomo. Because Ptur Kriyasa should be a Koveya, just like Chiyuv Kriyasa is Koveya. That's what the Rush says. Therefore, he says, what's going to happen is because you're telling me the makom that's poros is koveach here.
That takes place.
Therefore, he says, what's going to happen is because you're telling me the makom that's poros is koveach here if I'm in a makom that's poros. So that means if I'm in a makom that's not a poros, so then that makom should be a poter insofar as kriyas is concerned. So therefore, if I happen to be in a krach, which is, and because I'm poter, the krach is a makom ptur kriya on your dalid, so I should be defined as what? As a ben krach. That's what he's saying. You see? That's what he's saying. Yeah. You can't have a one-sided and say that if I'm in a makom, that's poros, so then it determines the chiyah. And what about Ptur? If that's the term, it's Chiyuv, so if you're not in that Makom, so then you're Potter. So therefore, you have to say that what? That Halacha can't deal with such, you can't deal with a one-sided situation. So Halacha has to immediately determine on your Dalid what you are. What you are. So either you're a Poros on your Dalid, or you're a Mukaf on your Dalid. So when Zman Chiyuv is Chal, the formulation is right, when Zman Chiyuv is Chal on your Dalid, and what your status is on your Dalit has to be determined equally in terms of Chiyuv or Ptur HaMitzvah. If Makom determines Chiyuv HaMitzvah, Poros determines Chiyuv HaMitzvah, then you must have an institution of Mukuf that determines Ptur HaMitzvah. You can't have a half-sided situation. Poros is going to determine Chiyuv, and what if the guy happens to the guy's in Mukuf? There's no Ptur, even it's not even, it's an uneven Halacha. If Poros determines Chiyuv, then Mukuf determines Ptur. So if I'm a Makom Mukuf, so I'm not in a Makom Chiyuv, so now I must be in a Makom Ptur. Makom Ptur, so then the Halacha is, if you are in a Makom Ptur of Mitzvasa, which is Mukuf, so it's a Chalos Chiyuv is Chalfa Tezvav. So it's Mechayvi in Tezvav. So the Rush is, that's the way the Yerushalmi learns Allah. The Rush apparently wasn't too upset with Rashi's formulation with the Gavra, which he didn't bother him, that the Chiyuv is Chal before the Gavra is determined. That's an unusual type of halachic situation, but it makes sense logically. But this, he says, is not logical. To have an uneven situation is not logical. To say that there's a makom chiyuv and yet the makom ptur has not been determined, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So therefore, you have to say if there's a makom chiyuv on mitzvah, pruz, then there must be a makom ptur on mitzvah. Where's the makom ptur on mitzvah? Mukuf. So you must be determined on that night that you're a mukuf. There's a ptur, and therefore your chiyuv is postponed till when? Till tomorrow. That's your
chiyuv.
What? So saying, if you're determining makamos, so you're saying there's a makam paras that's mechayavim, so then there has to be, you must be makam ptur. Where's the makam ptur? Makam ptur doesn't come in existence until tomorrow. Doesn't make any sense. And then once you're the makam ptur, so it comes out that your definition is determined is determined either the Kriyas Yedaleh because of the Chiyav of Poros, or else it's a poter on, you're potter on that, and you're determined right then and there as a Ben Krach. As a Ben Krach. So it comes out, like you said, it's correct, that Yedaleh is really the Machayev. Yedaleh is really the Machayev in the Mitzvah. But it's Machayev the Poros. The Poros on Yedaleh. And it's Docha, the Krach, until when? Until Tesvav.
Even the guys are out here.
It's Kaveya's Chalashem. Exactly. If there's a Chalashem Poros on, this is what the Russian argument is right here. If there's a Chalashem Poros on your Dalad, there's a Chalashem Mukaf on your Dalad. You can't have a Chalashem Poros without a Chalashem Mukaf. That's impossible. So therefore, there's a Chalashem Mukaf on your Dalad, so he's defined as a Mukaf Liyoma. That's really, this is more precise. If there's a Chalashem Poros on your Dalad, there's a Chalashem Mukaf on your Dalad. You can't have a halacha that works incomplete. That's a half-hearted halacha. You can say like this, that if there's a Chalashem Poros, but there's no Chalashem Mukaf until the next day, that is impossible.
Because
Poros is Chiyuv and Mukaf is Tur. So there's a Chalashem Poros on your Dalad, there's a Chalashem Mukaf on your Dalad. So it comes out that on your Dalad is Kavua as a Mukaf. If it's Kavua as a Mukaf, so when is it Chiyuv? It's Chiyuv is 15. That's it. Just saying, there's a Pruz Ben Yomo, so if he's not in the Pruz on that day, he has the Mukaf Ben Yomo. That's what Rosh said. Okay, the first thing we did was the Ramban. The Svar of the Ramban. What's Ramban? The Rambans are the Machlokes Ramban, the Balamor. So we said, according to the Balamor, learns like Rashi, it comes out that there are two systems. There's a Pruz Ben Yomo, and then there's a regular Pruz. There's a Mukaf Ben Yomo, and there's a regular Mukaf. So if you're a regular Mukaf and you go to the Pruz, so the definition of Pruz Ben Yomo overrides the definition of being a mukaf. Okay? The basic definition of being a mukaf. So it's two systems. Like we said yesterday, two systems, but the definition of Pruz Ben Yomo is superior to the definition of being a regular krach. But however, let's say for instance you're a regular Pruz and you go to the krach and now you plan to come back before the 15th, so then of course you're a regular Pruz. But if you plan to stay there, so then what happens? Then you obtain the definition of a krach ben yomo. Krach ben yomo rules out the definition of a pruz. That's what the Balma says. What does that have to do with what he intends to do? The Ramban didn't like that, because Ramban thought that's a very crude formulation. Why should I say that? One, the pruz ben yomo is superior to the regular pruz, to the regular krach, to the regular definition. Is it like there's a regular underlying definition and there's a ben yomo definition, and the ben yomo definition prevails over the regular one? What kind of a system of Allah is that? So Ramban said like this. Ramban said that it's not a halacha that the Pruz Ben Yomo is superior. The halacha is that when he is a Pruz Ben Yomo, he's defined as abandoning his former status of krach. It's an abandonment. That's why the Ramban says, that's why the Rif holds that it depends on daitalach or in daitalach. Because that's already a sugya makam shenado. Which means that what? That daito lachzor means you didn't abandon, and ain't daito lachzor means that you did abandon. So the Ramban says that's why the Balamor's kasha is not kasha. Because the riff, and this is really the ingeniousness of the Ramban, to show you exactly precisely where the riff came up with this halacha. He's right, it's the only place it comes from Magen Shnagel. But it's based upon the definition in this sugya that a Pruz Ben Yomo is not just a mechanism that outrules the underlying criteria of citizenship and takes precedence over the other definition. But it's a halacha that it defines him as abandoning. A Pruz Ben Yomo is one who abandons his former status, his former place. He's considered abandoning. If he's considered abandoning, so then what? So then it has to be Ein Daita Lacha. That's the Ramban. Okay. Next point we took up is in the Ramban sheet himself, just trying to work it out. How does it work out that the case where if he's a benny or he's in the krach on the 14th, so somehow or other, let's put it this way, if he's a benny on the 14th and he lands on the 14th, then he comes on the 15th to the krach. So according to Rabban, he's going to have to land again. Why should he have to land again? This just doesn't make any sense. That's crazy. Why should he? He was yetzer already. Okay? So you're going to tell me because since he's there on the 15th, he becomes a mukaf. So it's one gavra with two definitions. He's like another gavra. If that's the case, so why is he putter? Why is the benny a putter on the 14th? If the definition didn't arrive till the 15th, so why is the benny a putter on the 14th? And what does that have to do with the only because he intends to stay there on the 15th? And if he doesn't intend to stay there on the 15th, he's going to be chayav on the 14th. How does that work? You tell me that the Zman, so you're apparently going to say like the Rosh, that the 14th is the Koveya. So the 14th is the Koveya, so he landed already in the 14th in the Purs, as a Purs. So why does he have to land again in the 15th? 14th was Koveya, is a Prozi. In the case where he was in the Prozi on the 14th, now he goes in the 15th. It doesn't work out. These cases don't work out. So we say as follows, that in Kriyas and Megillah, really, the 14th is Chayev and the 15th is Chayev. Both days are really Chayev. The only thing is the key in Kriyasa for both days in the Prozim is on the 14th. The key in Kriyasa for both days in Mukif and in Batei Rechoma is really on the 15th. But actually, each day has a chi of Kriyasa Megillah. So now it works out very nicely. That if the person is a Ben Ir, Sheholach Lekrach, and according to Ramban's definition, is very nice because he has to abandon his status of Ir. So let's say he's there on the 14th. On the 14th, he gets up in the morning, he's confronted with a chi of Kriya. So now we have to determine whether he's a Ben Krach or Ben Ir. So we say that if he intends to stay there on the 15th, then and only then it's daito, it's ein daito lachzor. So then if it's ein daito lachzor bizman kiyum mitzvoso, so then he could be defined as a Ben Krach. But if it's daito lachzor kodam kiyum mitzvoso, he definitely can't be defined as a Ben Krach. That would be absurd. Because this whole definition of a Purs Ben Yom and Mukav Ben Yom is the definition as far as Kriyas Megillah is concerned. So if he's not going to remain there, so now he's defined as a Ben Ir on the 14th. Okay? That's why he's defined as a Ben Ir on the 14th. Now, let's take another case. Now, let's say, for instance, a person's a Ben Ir on the 14th. And he landed on the 14th. But now, on the 15th, he goes into the Krach. So he's going to be Chayev, according to Ramban, Lakan. Why? Because on the 15th in the morning, he's confronted with the Chi of Kriyas on Megillah. So if he's not in the Krach, so we say his Kiyum took place on the 14th. But you can't say if he's in the Krach on the 15th, Bizman Chi of Kriyasa, that now he's defined as a Ben, as a Purz, and he was Yotzei that Chi of with yesterday's laning. That's impossible. So therefore, he's going to have to be Chayev to lane in both days. He'll be Chayev to lane in both days. What we're saying is that both days of Purim are Chayev and Kriya. But the realization for the first day is in the Prazim, and for the Mekufim, the realization of the Chi of Kriya is on the second day. What I'm saying is the Kriya for the first, on the first day for the Prazim, is a Kriya not just for the 14th. It's a Kriya for the 15th too. And a Pantasim for the 15th. Okay, a riot to this svara. A riot to this svara is the Locha and Tafresh Peches Ches. And if a Ben Ir couldn't read it on the 14th, then even though he doesn't go to a Krach, he reads it on the 15th. There's a question to say without a bracha, but that's something because it's not the mitzvah Kitzurasa. But he still, it's not the mitzvah Kitzurasa, but still he has a chi of Kriya and a ki of Kriya on the 15th. So it shows you really that you chayev to read on the 14th and you chayev to read on the 15th. The only thing is that a Ben Ir, his chi of on the 15th, is fulfilled through the Kriya of the 14th. The Kriya of the 14th was ready for the 15th though. So that's the case, so that the Allah is perfect. A tough race pay for that. Who's that? Alright, very good. What? It's good. It's clear for the cash and the answer. Very good. More for the answer, but anyway, very good. That's the riot for this whole pshat. That's 100% riot for the pshat. Okay, if you're going to say that the Ben Ir is only chayev on the 14th, that's crazy. He's crazy. He's reading on the 15th. It's Mishigas. It's below bracha. It's below bracha because it's not the mitzvah Kitzurasa, so you can't make a bracha. But that's something else. The Ravid. Why is the Ravid? No, just one more point. The Ravid holds that what? The Ravid holds that if you're a Ben Ir and you're in the Krach, so you could what? So you could read in the Krach on the 14th. But if you're a Ben Krach,
If you're Ben Krach and you leave the Krach,
you can't read in the 15th outside of the Krach. But you can read on the 15th, on the 14th, in the Krach, a Kriya of the Ir. Why? What's the difference? The reason is because Krachim Amukofim Choma are an entity. Ir is not an entity. It's nothing. It's nothing. So there's no halacha of a Kriya shel Ir. Because it's just a Kriya. There's nothing there. It's the absence. It's an absence. You know what I mean? This is anisht in Mizar. Okay. But in the Kriya of the Krakim. Krakim is a new Chal Hashem. Batei Arachom is a Chal Hashem. It's a Pasuk in the Torah. It's a new entity. So therefore, the kriya shall bote al-echom was a separate, he holds the right, it happens all the way, and not everybody agrees with it. But he holds it's a separate kriya of a kriya bote al-echom, so it must be in the bote al-echom. But you can't say a kriya of an ear has to be in an ear. There's no such thing as an ear. The bote al-echom doesn't say it's mafki yet. Doesn't do anything about it. It's a kriya. That's the difference.
A lie, it's your sister. So he says, no, he says, Gam omna chosi bas ovihi achlo bas imi. So the Ramban says, Eini yedea ma'awa snatzel sazer? What kind of answer is this? She happens to be also, she's your wife. He says, who cares? She's related to you. What's this with Gam omna? So Ramban doesn't answer. I said, Pshat is that the Pshat is like this, that when you lie to somebody, there's two things. First of all, you're giving him a false information. So you're causing him to act on false information. That's bad. But there's something else. Lying to somebody, you take away from his dignity. You show him that he's not important. You don't consider him important enough to tell him the truth. So it really is a disparaging type of thing. You're degrading him by telling him a lie. So that's what Avram said. He said, with regard to telling you something that's false, In order, and basing your action on that I couldn't help because no choice, because I thought they were going to kill me. But I want you to know I wouldn't tell you a total lie. I didn't really lie to you. In fact is true that she's my sister. So that took away from the degradation, the lack of consideration. Personally, you lie to somebody, it's not just that the person's upset because of the fact that he has misinformation. But how could you, it's an insult to my intelligence. How could you insult me by telling me a false thing? He said, that I didn't do. You should know that there is some truth there. And since it is true in fact, so I didn't lie to you. That made Avimelech feel better. So. Honor is really, honor is an important thing. Okay. That's why the philosophers, the argument continues that those who, there are many people who have experienced physical pleasures as well as honor, but there aren't too many people who have experienced the enjoyment of knowledge. Not too many people have experienced it. Okay? Most people don't know that knowledge could be an enjoyable experience. And you see among those people who have experienced the enjoyment of knowledge, they are philosophers. They become philosophers. Those people choose to give up the honor and the money. So you see that is really the greatest enjoyment. That's the argument. The love of money, what we mean is money really is concentrated title, you might say.
Do the sexual...
Okay. Yes, what happens with an emotion, getting back to what we said before, what happens with an emotion is that the soul, this underlying part, has the capacity to have something become attached to it, to join it, and become a part of it, so that it becomes a part of the very prime mover. That becomes the very prime mover itself. That's the nature of the soul. You see, it's an interesting thing, that there is something that has the nature that it will become akin to that which becomes attached to it. And that which becomes attached to it will actually be a part of that thing. That's the nature of the soul. That's why the Chachamim speak in terms of the poisoning of the soul. Soul is poisoned. What does it mean the soul is poisoned? It means that the soul itself already has become part of that which it's taken in. Now you see Chazal hold, the Rambam says especially that a person can reach a point where he can't do tshuva. Can't do tshuva anymore. How is that possible? The answer is that as long as there is an element of rationality left in the soul, so the soul can withdraw at certain times, and it's possible for the soul to remove itself from that which has attached itself to it. You see? Through knowledge. But once the soul has become identified with those emotions, and there is no knowledge at all operating, or that can operate against these emotions, then it's impossible. There's no way it could change from that point on. That's a good example. Dharma. Right. You see? There's no factor, there's no element left that could change the soul. The only element is knowledge. Now, if a person has a little bit of knowledge, he can make a little bit of headway, and then he keeps on making, and every time he makes a gain, with knowledge, the gain is permanent. That's one thing, one advantage of knowledge, the gain is permanent. Now, since the gain is permanent, so then he could keep on adding, and once he adds, the knowledge gains more control, and there's more of the soul partakes of knowledge. Now, since more of the soul... He changes the person as the knowledge. Now, once he gains that knowledge, what's going to take it away? So it's a permanent change. Now, once he gains more knowledge, then the soul partakes of knowledge to a greater degree. Once it partakes of knowledge to a greater degree, the next stride is even bigger. Because now it strides along with more knowledge. So the soul can really keep on making gains. Understand, you see, when a person... When we say, for instance, in Yadas, that the sichlius is the essence of the soul, it doesn't mean literally the part of the mind that thinks. That's not what is meant by mind. It's not what is meant by mind. What is meant by mind is, insofar as the soul partakes of mind. See, the soul partakes of mind. See, and I'll prove it to you, because the Rambam says... In the Mora, the Rambam says that the intellectual perfection is the greatest. It's greater than the perfection of the Midos, and it's greater than even greater than the perfection of the Midos, certainly greater than the perfection of the body, and which is certainly greater than the perfection of one's estate. It's the lowest perfection. Now, the Rambam at the end of the Mora says that the person who is really on the highest level does it loves chesed. Chesed is midas. The answer is, and the Rambam, when the Rambam mentions the fourth perfection of the mind, he says, you should involve yourself in this perfection, he says, because this really is yours. He keeps on saying that. I don't know if you ever saw that part. This really is yours. What do you mean, this really is yours? What do you mean, yours? You see? Yours means, when he says this is yours, he doesn't mean knowledge, perfection of the apparatus of the mind. He's not referring to that. What he's referring to is, perfection of the soul insofar as it partakes of knowledge. Because that really is what the essence of the person is. Because that is the prime mover of the person. See? So that if a person partakes of knowledge, he really gains. Because when he partakes of knowledge, then his prime mover is in order. That really is a gain. Whereas if a person just perfects his emotions, while it is a gain insofar as it permits him to perfect his intellect, it's not a gain per se. It's not him per se. Him per se means this is really what really is the basic prime mover, is the most correct prime mover is the knowledge. What he means is that the person should perfect himself in knowledge. He doesn't mean, like I said, the apparatus, the mental apparatus. They should be able to calculate properly or even to think properly. What he's referring to is the soul's relationship to knowledge. That's what he means. The Rambam, unfortunately, when you read the ancients, what happens is that you project your own terminology onto what they mean by certain words, which is a very leads to many errors. Leads to many errors. What Yadas maintains is a very simple thing: that when is the person really in the most favorable position? When can he be happiest? And when he's in the best position? When his soul partakes of mind. When his soul partakes of knowledge. That's the prime mover. Because you see, when a person has knowledge, and he'll see why he does a crazy thing, and he understands it, he'll never do it again. Why? Because the knowledge dictates that this is what he should do. So you see that the prime mover really, everybody agrees that the most basic prime mover has to be knowledge. That really is the soul. So that's the you. That's the you. So the ultimate you really is, there is, the you is really what the prime mover is. But the ultimate you is where the prime mover is identified with the knowledge, partakes of the knowledge.
Okay.
This is really in line with what many Chachamim mention, that the Olam Haba is not an onish, that God punishes a person and says, okay, now you're not going to have Olam Haba. because you were bad. That's an infantile concept. Or I'll give you a present. Because you were so good, I'm going to give you a present for being so good during your lifetime. That's not true. The Rambam speaks a lot about that. He says that's absurd, because that would be saying that Torah really isn't the best thing, because God's going to give you something else in place of Torah. So this isn't really the ultimate. See? But all my boys, a natural thing. The Rambam says, natural thing. Natural thing that a person whose soul partakes of knowledge, who has perfected his soul to that point where it partakes of knowledge, you see, then he has a place in the Olam HaBa, because that which is eternal is only the concepts. The ideas, the Chachmah, is eternal, and a person is eternal insofar as he partakes of that. So that's why his soul is eternalized. However, the soul whose prime mover is Taiva, is partaking of Taiva, that's his essence, so simply he can't exist over there because it just doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. Taiva is no material thing, so it doesn't exist. See? Right. Ayev Adam li Zoher b'mezuzah mibnei shehi chova sakol tamed, Rama says. V'chol zman sheyichnas v'yetzei, every time man goes into his house and out of his house, yifga b'yichur Hashem shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yizkor ahavaso. I'll think of yichur Hashem, that God is a source behind every phenomena that we see. The Yizkor Avaso, and I'll remember the Avas Hashem. The Yor Mishnaso, the Shigyosov Bahavle Azman, Ushkiyosov Bahavle Azman, and he'll awaken from his sleep and from his mistaken involvement in the nonsensical things of life. The Yeda. The only thing that's eternal is Yediyas Tzur HaOlam. Miyad Uchozel Adaito. He goes back to his mind. What does it mean? It means he comes under the sway of the of knowledge. The soul partakes of knowledge. V'Holech B'Darkei Meisharim. See? That's why the Rambam said before, famous Rambam, that's in Perek, the end of Perek Vav. Set in Perek Hey Halacha Dal, the Rambam was so upset that he says that Minik Pasha Shekosnul Alam Mezuzim Bechutz Kenegad Revach Shebein Pasha LaPasha Shedai Shin Dal Yud Vein Baze Hefsel Fishim Bechutz. He says Aval Elu Shekosnul Bifnim. Those people who write inside Shmos Hamalachim Oshemus Agdoshim Al Pasuk Ochasamos Harehim Bechlal Mishein Lehem Chelak Lalam Abba.
Rambam says,
who write the names of Malachim inside of Mezuzah. Well, they have no chevron on the
bar. Why do
they do They do. They just forfeited the mitzvah of Mezuzah. So he says, serious. She'elo atipshim, he says. She'elo atipshim, lo dai lohem shebitlu ha-mitzvah. Not enough to involve the mitzvah. For that, you don't lose all the bar. Ela she'osu mitzvah gedola. It took a great mitzvah. She'hi yichur Hashem shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'ahavaso. Va'avodaso, because that's really the concept of mezuzah. Those ideas of what's written in the mezuzah, and they made a keilu hu kmiya shel hanoyas atzma, as if it's something for their own benefit, for their own enjoyment. Kemo she'ola al libam hasachal, like they thought in their foolish hearts. Shezeo dover hamahane b'hav lehola. They thought that this is going to help them in terms of their nonsensical, irrational quests. You see, Rambam says. Person that does, he says, that means the person that has done that has forfeited the whole concept of Yadus, the whole basis of Yadus. Because to him, what's his essence? His essence is, his physical and nonsensical personal strivings and involvements. So he's forfeited the whole mitzvah. So how could he have a part in the Olam HaBa? There's no way in the Olam HaBa. That's what the Rambam says. Why is the Rambam so strict on a person? Because he's taken the ultimate and he's reduced it to a means to his physical. Can't have a chalom alma, it's impossible. That's the Rama. Hilchos Mezuzah. Now, what does it mean, kedoshim to you? Kedoshim to you? Ki kodosh, ani Hashem alakechem. What does it mean, kodosh, ani Hashem alakechem? What's the answer? The answer is, Rashi says, that's what Rashi says. Evepushim in arayis min avera. What does it mean? It means that the person's prime mover should not be arayis. That's why Rashi mentions avera. Vera means that the Prushim and Arayas alone, if Rashi would have said, meant physically he doesn't violate. But Minavera means from the desire, which means to say that the prime mover should be a different one. His prime mover should be Chachma. There's a different functioning soul, the person that lives according to Yadis, his soul functions in a totally different way. The prime mover is Chachma. The Taiva, yeah, he can sense Taiva. But when he senses a Taiva, it has to go through a certain machine first. And the mind thinks about it. There's a gap there. The Taiva doesn't, there is no direct flow from the desire to the prime mover of the soul, to the soul. See, it doesn't work that way. The taiva may attract him. You see, the taiva may attract him. He's not a malach, he's only a human being. Taiva will attract him, no question about it. But once it does, the mind works. And the mind decides whether or not this taiva is something you should partake of or not, you see. So that's a different mind, a totally different mental apparatus. It's a different soul. It's a different soul. That's Kedushin to you. That's the mitzvah of Kedushin to you.
That's why you now say
Kedushin. Rashi says Arias. That's why Rashi says Arias. Because Arias is the biggest type. That's the biggest force, the greatest attraction. Navi always equates Arias. I mean, Shlomo HaMelech and Kicholas Avon, all these. Arias is the biggest taiva. But if he says that taiva is achila, kedusha means kedusha. The Rambam says kedusha is achila, and it's Arias. Yisur achila and yisur bia. Question is which is. It's a positive thing. Kedoshim to you. What does it mean? Yeah. What does it mean? Kikadosh ani Hashem alakechem. What does it mean? Kikadosh ani Hashem alakechem. What does it mean? It means a person has the ability in his way to be medama lakadosh baruch hu. That's the principle of mahu afata. Mahu afata. What does it mean, mahu afata? It means a person can partake in a certain, in a human sense, limited human sense, he can partake of his own frame, you see. He could imitate God. Right, which means that he can raise his nature to the point where it is close in a sense to God's nature. That's in Kikadosh Ani Hashem Elokecha, because of course the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all chachma, and there is no emotion. God doesn't have any emotion. God is a source we can't even define his essence. But he's the source of all chachma. Insofar as God is the source of all chachma, man, when he becomes kadosh, you see, when he becomes kadosh, when is the prime mover of his soul is chachma, he's likened to God. He's likened to God. That's the pshat. That's the pshat. Ki kadoshim to you, ki kadosh ni Hashem lakecha. Kadosh ani. Hashem, k'shem shani kadosh, kachatem to you kadoshim. K'shem shani parosh, kachatem to you parishim. That's ma'ani afata. That's what it means. See? Because God's nature is far removed, is the furthest removed from taiva, because of his nature. Man has his nature is that he is susceptible to taiva. But insofar as he removes himself from taiva, he is becomes likened to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Well, if he died, is a person who involves himself in the taiva. There's only one problem with that. The problem is that when a person involves himself in taivas, there's another part of the soul that objects and sees problems. And that is the mind. Now, in order to take care of that problem, the drink comes into the picture. And then he can be totally, without any objections, without any guilt, or without any, conscience, he can be totally involved in the taiva. See? That is the man's essence. That's what the Ramban says. That a person could be. People in the world, those are Hollywood people that are having these parties, and yet everybody identifies with them, is attracted to it. Why? Because that's the old situation where the person's mind, person's taivas, can overpower the mind. I mean, it has overpowered the mind. I would be different if I was there. See? The same thing. I would be different. So the mind can be fooled, can be overpowered by the taiva, and it can block out the whole reality. The whole reality. So therefore they want to observe this scene because they really believe that really is the supreme satisfaction. But nevertheless, They have to block out certain reality. At any rate, so the, yeah. But those, yeah. So if you would show those people, that they really are miserable, which I don't think would be too difficult to show them, actually. But if you show them there's a better way to live, that they could really have a greater satisfaction, and also you give them the knowledge as to why they're stuck in this, you see, then they're definitely, I mean, unless the person is crazy, he would change, because every person wants the good for what is good for themselves. Completes the scene. Ramban completes the scene with one very nice sentence. Ramban is depicting what the Taiva scene is, and that's Ramban, with his great mind, can do it best. He adds one more thing. He says, "V'yedaber kirtzono b'chol hanavolos shlohuzker isses ebetara." He says, and he can verbalize any low, whatever, any type of all types of profanities. What's a pshat? What's a pshat? He literally, nivel peh, can say anything he wants. See, say anything he wants. Why does that round off the scene, actually? Because a person, by nature, is not capable of using all his energy for physical tivus. That only an animal could do. So a person has to be able to, has to get rid of a lot of tivus through a sublimated form, through speech. See? So therefore, if he only involved himself in the physical tivus, even though he dulled his mind, he wouldn't have guilt with regard to the physical tivus, but he'd still be left unsatisfied. There's one area that fills that gap. What is that area? Dibor. That's the area of Dibor. So that rounds off the Taiva scene. Inherently, it's frustrating. Call out Dvarim Yigeim. That's right. So, without it, that even then he could never satisfy all his Taivas. Yeah, novel Bereshis HaTorah. Okay. They shouldn't have too much intercourse. They only should do according to the halacha. The yikadesh atzma min hayayin b'miuto. She only drink a little bit. Kemosha kara kosev hanazir kadosh. The yiskor haroz haniskoros mimenu betara benoach ubalot. V'chein yafish atzma minat tama. Afpish lohuz hanu mimena betara. Kenyan shehizkiru big day amar. It's medris lepershim. Kemosha nikra hanazir kadosh b'shamar mitumas amaze gamkein. V'gam yishma pivu l'shenai. Me is goel. Beriboy Achila Gasa, Amina Dibo Animas, Kenyan Shiskar Kosov, Lachol Pe, Dover Navolo, Vikanishatma Bazer, Achiagila Precious, Kamashama Rabihia, Shlosoch Sicho Betela Miyamov. Beelu Kayetzaben Boa Mitzvazos Aklois, Achare Shaporat Kola Vera Shena Suris Lagamri, Achikanis Bachlazos and Zosat Savoa. And a kius biyada v'gufo k'mo shomer v'skadishtem elamayim rishonim v'yisim gadoshim elamayim achronim ki kadosh zeh shem en orev ki afapishe elamitzvah midivrein ikar kosov v'kiyotzei bozeh yaz yashiniyeh nekiyim u'tahorim u'prushim